identity, who you are in Christ. How many know that Satan would like to play an identity game with you? We got to pray this right. That's right. Forgot about that. Yes, that's right. Identity theft. All right, let's, everybody got a special spoken request they want to share with the congregation? Okay, surgery is Thursday. All right. Who else? Anybody else have a special spoken request? Okay, that's Jackson. Who else? Yes. Anybody else? All right, sister, let it rip. Yes. That's right. Yes, you can sometimes you can only go so far until the Lord lets you pick it back up again. Think of it as a bookmark. Stick the bookmark in. And when the page turns in the right position, get back, take your bookmark. Okay. Amen. He's the most powerful. He definitely is. You can't beat him. That's right. That's right. Yes, yes. Oh. Yes. Yes, she's doing good. She should be hurt. She should be. Pray for her arm because she's in kind of a bind. Georgia sprung her arm. Georgia Rowe, she sprung her arm on the boat. Actually, I think somebody was her niece or somebody was trying to help her up or something when they grabbed her arm. It sprung. All right, is there anybody else? Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. and your mercy. We thank you, God, that you're in total control. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and to anoint in a very powerful way. I ask you, God, to touch each and every request, Lord, spoken, unspoken alike. God, we know, Lord, with you, Father, nothing is impossible. Absolutely nothing is impossible. I ask you right now, Father, to touch each and every prayer request, Lord, that we've asked right now, each and every person, Lord, Father, minister to them, Father, whether it be a physical ailment or a mental ailment, whether it be whatever. We thank you, Father, that you are powerful and that you have all of this under control. I ask you right now, Father, to help us, Lord, to look to you and to trust you, Father, that you're going to take care of all of this. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you for it. And the church said, amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Father. He's an awesome God. Amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome God. Get your Bibles out. We're gonna do some good stuff here. Talking about our identity in Christ. How many know that we are awesome people because we serve an awesome God? Amen? And so because we serve an awesome God, we can actually see things happen that a lot of people in the world may not be able to see happen. It's because we trust God and we know it. Amen? So get your Bible. If you got your Bible, you may want to turn to Ephesians 5 and 8. Ephesians 5 and 8 for the moment. Now we're gonna be going to a lot more scriptures. God is awesome. All the time. That's right. So here we go. That's good. Y'all got it? Here we go. Again, it's about identity. We're not going to have many more weeks of this, but we're going to have a few more weeks at least. What is your real identity? Again, remember, everybody, it's almost like, if you want the truth, want to know the truth about it, you know how Clark Kent and Wonder Woman and Batman had the Batcave. Superman had the phone booth. Wonder Woman, she just went out and spun around, you know, and in her hands too. But she spun around to put her stuff on. And yeah, she had an invisible airplane too. But I'm talking about how she changed. Okay, and all these people had their super identities, their secret identities, and to be truthful with everybody. We all have more than one identity. And you don't have to be schizophrenic. You don't have to be bipolar. You don't have to have multiple personality. You don't have to have a borderline personality disorder. Everybody in here. Everybody. Y'all say everybody. Everybody in here, there's more than one side to you. How many times has somebody done something to you and you're going, oh, that's all right, take your time, and inside you're going, you idiot. I know, I'm the only one. Or they're going, it's like my psych teacher now, I honestly, it's like, you can turn it off because she's watching. I believe she's bipolar and hyperactive, ADHD and bipolar. Okay, and one night the assignment's one thing, the next day and it's a daily, it's 2 weeks done in 1 week, and it's just a constant. I mean, I feel like a duck in a shooting gallery, trying to find which way to go to please her. And I'm thinking, God, I'd like to get more in tune with telling her how I feel, but if I do, I got 30 hours of psychology, and she's going to be my teacher at least one more time. Okay. So, if I got 10 classes and she's already got one, I don't know how many more she got. So I'm just trying to be cool, not rock the boat. But still, again, everybody in here, you can act one way in front of, like when we go to prison on this Thursday night, we're going to cut up and carry on. You're going to go, those guys are crazy. The other night we were in there, the last time we were in there, we're walking out. We're walking out. As we're walking out, those guys, thank y'all so much for coming. And Stephen says, well, thank y'all so much for being here. Yeah. And then the guys were outside. They're in for 23 hours. They're out for an hour. And so the two guys are out. We're walking out. And Stephen said, y'all stay out all night now. Yeah. Tell about donuts. That's really good. Okay. What I'm saying is, though, you know, you might see in that van, and if some of y'all were riding together to go to the mountains or somebody you're really close to, all of a sudden y'all got up and got confronted by certain things, you might see a side of you. Have you ever said, I've never seen that side of them before? You just got through saying he told stories. Okay. So. My father-in-law did say that my father-in-law had his teeth pulled, and he needed a new set of teeth, so he couldn't afford a new set from the dentist, so he went to the funeral home and got repaired. They were only $25. The only problem was he had to self-fit himself, and so he had to go through about 10 or 15 pair of teeth before he could find one that fit. And he used them for about a week, and he carried them back to the funeral home. And he found out there was a woman's set of teeth, and they about talked him to death. Okay, so here we go. Again, we all say, I've never seen that side of them before. It's because if you get pushed hard enough, or if the opportunity arises, because you might not find out, you might think a person can never be that jovial, or that person can never be that giving, or that person can never be that loving. Don't just talk about anger. We're talking about the other things too. But when it comes up and they look at it and they go, I've never seen that side of that person. Wow, I didn't know that was in them. Again. So as opportunity arises or things happen. So here we are. I mean, I remember one night we're at Hardee's in Benson, and there was a guy walked in across the street and was asking people for money. Nobody was giving him any money. He said, I'm hungry, man. Nobody was giving him any money. He had escaped from the nursing home. They let him escape from time to time, and he was in Hardy trying to get something to eat. One of the guys in my church said, that is a crying shame. Said, somebody ought to go take care of this and get him out of here. Said, he is making a big old mess of everything. I said, I got it. I got it, brother. I walked over and put my arm around the man and said, what's up, buddy? He said, I'm hungry. I said, what you want to eat? I said, get anything you want. Anything. He said, I just want a hamburger. I said, no, you're not just getting a hamburger. Get whatever you want. He said, okay. A glass of tea? I said, all right. So I got him a glass of tea and a hamburger. And he said, I said, you sure there's nothing else you want? He says, no, I'm going to eat this. I'm going back to nursing home. I said, that's no problem. I said, if you want anything else, you come get me, and we'll take care of it. And he sat down. I put my arm around him, and I prayed for his food. And I said, I just want you to remember something. God loves you, and we do too. And I went back to the table, and that guy said, why don't you just make me feel like a dog? But you know what, though? But the whole thing is, see, I showed him how to act. But again, the opportunity had to arise. Okay, so watch this. Everybody's got a side to you. Matter of fact, there's more than one side to everybody. All right? So now, and if you want to really find out all the sides of somebody, marry them. Or give birth to them. Okay? So here we go. So what is an identity? Is identity something you're born with? Is it changeable, or is it never able to change? I can answer that now. It can change. Everybody is born with a certain remember, we talked about this thing, part of your identity you're born with, the other part you adapt and learn. So it really can have a lot to do with who you're around and who you're with and who you choose to hang around will have a lot to do also with your identity. The root cause of identity struggles. Non-believers experience lack of fulfillment because of their choice to remain in the Adams family. Dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun. Now, it's not the Adams family. It's from TV. It's Adam and his family, Adam and Eve. Amen? So, I will be fulfilled, where are we at? Seeking to meet their own needs and living out of their own resources. Remember, God is my source. All right? God is my source. Believers may be unfulfilled because they lack understanding. Look, if you see the note up here, July 26th, this was for last week. And what happened was last week we only had a couple show up, so I kept this for this week. And so that's why you got July 26th. I don't think that I don't have a calendar. I know it's the 9th, August the 9th, but this is from last week, okay? What do y'all need? Yeah, it's still a week off, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so it's still a week off, amen. So here we go. That's right, Eddie. So this thing here was written last week, all right? So here we go. Believers may be unfulfilled because they lack understanding that their identity is now in the person of Christ. How many heard about the synchronized swimmers that won the gold medal? Jeannie was telling me, I heard about it on the radio. I didn't know it was synchronized swimmers till today. I just knew that it was somebody that won a medal. They said their identity was not in the Olympics, and in that team, their identity was in Christ. Okay? They took this course. Not this course specifically, but this, the word I'm showing, okay? They knew this word. They understood the word. All right. Believers, so here we go. They will seek to serve God and meet their own needs out of their own resources. That's what was happening in Galatia. The church of Galatia. Galatians is the only angry letter of Paul. He's angry. You can see by the way he writes to the church of Galatia, he is mad. Because the guys have decided to sacrifice unto the people were losing their homes, losing their mom and dad, their birth certificates, all this stuff was going on because they were serving God or serving Jesus. So what they said was, okay, to make y'all happy, we'll serve Jesus and we'll also serve the temple. And so they were doing sacrifices and at the same time trusting Jesus for salvation. What in the world? I'm going to give a temple sacrifice, but I'm also going to trust Jesus for salvation. That's crazy. And Paul got angry and said, if I rebuild the things which I have destroyed, I have become a transgressor. He's talking about getting back religious after you found salvation. Okay? When you begin to try to work it out yourself, you become religious. It's not just the side of us coming in here and we've got the sensor going back and forth and we're doing all the boom. No. Sometimes just doing it yourself, living out of your own resources, out of your own identity to bring out what God's got in you is being religious. Because now you're working through the flesh. Religion is a work of the flesh. So the wrong belief. Or what? Working out through the flesh? If I try to, I hear people all the time tell me, I ask them, what have you thought about coming to church? And they'll go, I've got to get better before I can come to church. So I've got to work on me before I can let God work on me. That is the biggest lie from hell there is. I got to work on me before God works on me, because if I give God what I got now, he may not be able to fix it. That's right. So again, it's a work of the flesh. So again, you're being religious, because religious folks think they can fix it themselves. All right? They may not actually realize that. They're thinking they can fix it through ceremony or fix it by what they wear or what they don't wear. They fix it by they follow these 10 rules. I'm all right. If I don't follow these 10 rules, I praise God for grace because I can't follow those 10 rules. All right? I can't. And the Bible says if you could, they wouldn't be in need of a Savior. Nobody in here can follow the rules to the T. Nobody. The only person that followed him to the T walked on this earth and carried a cross. Right? And so because he carried that cross, we can go to him. And when God looks at me, he doesn't see my sin. He sees Jesus' sacrifice. Because I'm wearing a robe of righteousness, not because of David, because David Linton is unholy. I know y'all might not realize that. Okay? But David Linton, if you don't believe me, you ask my youngins, you ask my wife, ask my dogs. They'll tell you. We're all human. We're all human. But, and if we realize that, if we can realize that, we can understand other people better. We can handle other people better. That's how I can go to prison and work with those guys, is because I know that if it was only for the grace of God, I'd be in there. Amen? There's some guys in there that have done lesser than some of us have done in here and just ain't being caught. Okay? I've seen guys lose their license. I say, what you lose your license for? 70 to 55, and I'm thinking, well, I drove 80 to get up here. We can adjust our halo. We can hang it around, but you know what? We're all guilty. That's just from being, that's just because, you know why they got that badge? Because there was a whole line of us that said, will a volunteer please step forward? And everybody else took one step back. So they all stood one step back, and I was just stuck there. It looked like I'd move forward. Okay, here we go. All right, I am fulfilled as my life reflects the image of God by allowing Christ to live in me and through me. My identity is not found in earthly roles or relationships. Wow, that's powerful. I'm not kidding. I want to shout. That's awesome stuff. Because we beat ourselves. How many have beat yourself today because you just didn't fit your mark? Let me tell you what the devil's going to do. The devil, here's two roles he plays in everybody's head every day. Do you know that actually that when it says the weapons of warfare are carnal, but the mighty to God for pulling down the strongholds, do you know what it's talking about? Thinking. I'm getting ready to preach a sermon on it, and when God changes our stinking thinking. All right? Now, here we go. Satan is first your tempter. And when he tempts you, oh, go ahead. Nobody's watching. Go ahead. You really need that. Go ahead. You deserve that. Oh, go ahead. Oh, you know you want it. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And then as soon as you do it, you know, you feel that rush, because it is a rush, and you give into it. And once you give into it, then you feel directly, immediately condemnation. You know why? Because he goes from the tempter to the accuser. Just like that. So here you are in a temptation. You feel like you got to have it. And when it does happen, you're thinking, wow, this is going to be awesome. Once it happens, you go, that wasn't so awesome. And then all of a sudden you got condemnation, because now the accuser of the brethren, the same guy, he has two hats. He's done sitting here and beat you to death. So my identity is not found in David Linton. My identity is found in Christ, because when Christ was tempted, he did not sin. He stopped it. The buck stops here. And you see how he handled it? When you said the weapons of warfare are not carnal, when he said, cast yourself, or if you'll bow down and worship me, all this is going to be yours. He said, worship the Lord thy God and him only. If you're so hungry, make this bread and stone into bread. And he says, I shall, the word of God, you have to eat the word of God first. You know, you got this stuff. Oh, I live by the word. You see this? Or if you be the son of God, jump off this temple, and he says the angels will catch you. And he says, don't tempt the Lord thy God. You know how he fought? Every one of those temptations was with the word. I'm getting ahead of myself before this sermon's coming up in the next week or two. But here's what you do. Watch this. Let me tell you something. I'm going to try it on y'all. I want y'all not to think about the red dog. Don't think about the red dog. You cannot think about the red dog. What are y'all thinking about? You can't think about the red dog. Do not think about the red dog. Whatever you do, don't think about the red dog. Don't think about the red dog. What are y'all thinking about? Okay, watch this now. You know how you change it? Look, you know how you change it? Yeah, I had a Bill's hot dog. That's where the red dog come from, because it was hot. All right, here's how you do it. So I keep telling you, don't think about the red dog. You're going to think about it. So I say, okay, here's how you do it. Change it. Think about the blue sky. 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 Guess what? You're no longer thinking about the red dog. You're thinking about the blue sky. You know why? This is a spiritual principle. You cannot stop the thinking process. Your mind works while you're asleep. You don't stop the thinking process. What you can do is change the thinking process. And that's why God told Joshua to meditate on my word day and night. Meditate on it day and night, because what happens is the word meditate means actually now you're going to replace the negative with the positive. Go ahead. The average person has 90 a year. She might not remember it. You know what I'm saying? She just might not remember because the Bible, I mean, the mind is actually working out things. And when you go to sleep, one of the best things you can always tell somebody if it's a hard decision, let me sleep on it. And you think you're just saying, I'm just trying to get away with something. No. Let me think on it, because at the moment, if you ask me, I'm going to make an emotional decision. But if I can sleep on it, my mind, my subconscious mind will set back and it'll pull back all the resources. And actually, you can get a good night's sleep and you'll see it clear. The fog is lifted. And so you needed a good night's sleep. Well, since it's called REM sleep, rapid eye movement, and it's in that REM sleep, if you don't get past the third level of sleep, you get stuck and you can't do a lot of dreaming or you can't think about it. And it's in the REM sleep when you start working your problems out. So you got to be dreaming. Dreaming helps you work your problems out. What I was going to say is, though, look, this is so cool, though. Yeah, I dreamed I ate a giant marshmallow one night and woke up with a pillow was gone. Okay, here we go. Okay. I'm fulfilled when I reflect, my life reflects the image of God. So here it goes. And I reflect that, watch this, by allowing Christ to live in me and through me. I got to give him the reins. God's not my co-pilot. God's my pilot. Because every time he's my co-pilot, he's in there telling me, take a left, take a right. I'm going, really? I think we ought to take a left, take a right the other way. So, for in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. Colossians 2, 9 through 10. So steps to the solution. This is where it gets really awesome. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We always talk about how the flesh is dead, and the old man is dead. It's amazing how the old man is dead, but as soon as something happens, he resurrects. That word dead in the Greek means rendered helpless. That's what it means. Not dead as in the grave, but rendered helpless, because the old man will rise up. That's one of those sides that some people see of you. When you get the right buttons pushed, that old man will rise up. So here we go. I've been crucified with Christ, and a man on the cross, watch this, he's facing one direction. A man on the cross. And he has no more plans of his own. Can't. He's nailed to the cross. And he's given his life to the purpose. So if you're crucified in Christ, you're facing one direction, you have no plans of your own, and you're giving your all for the purpose. Wow, that's some powerful stuff. So here goes. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me, Galatians 2:20. Adam made the choice not to obey God. Therefore, all his descendants inherited a nature that is independent of God and seeks to please itself. The flesh seeks to gratify flesh. Because God has made it possible for us to be his children, we are given a new nature that is submissive to God and seeks to please him. So here it is. Y'all got your Bible? To Ephesians. I'm going to read it first, and then I'm going to read it. Somebody do me a favor and read Ephesians 5, 8 through 17, or y'all can split it up. However you want to do it, but somebody read Ephesians 5, 8 through 17 in the King James Version. All right, go ahead, sister. You can read it all or pass it on, however. Yep. Okay, let's just stop. All right. This is an awesome thing. This is so, so awesome. As a matter of fact, if y'all think about it, the last couple of weeks, of course, last week was a mess at the PowerPoint because I was so sleepy the night before. I was driving 10 hours, and I didn't animate, and I put too much stuff up there. But, like I said, y'all got to give me a mulligan on that one because I couldn't work on it while I was driving. I tried, but Linda don't like that. Yeah, she'd rather I watch the road, especially on I-85 going to Greensboro. I mean, going out Charlotte. So here we go. Your new family inheritance. This is this is such an awesome piece of work. God's word is so powerful. Now, before we go into this, I'm going to read another scripture, and then I'm going to break it down. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a lamp, on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that you may see that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So now, first thing it says is you have moved from darkness to light. One of the translations says you groped your way through the muck once, but no longer. You're out in the open now. The bright light of Christ makes your way plain. So no more stumbling around. Get on with it. Let me just tell you something about, you say, is God talking to me or is Satan talking to me? I'll tell you one way you can discover that and find out. Is, remember this. Whenever Satan, he disguises himself as an angel of light. He disguises himself. Disguise. Meaning, if you watch hard enough, he will pull back in the sky so you can tell. Right? Transform to an angel of light means only on the outside, not the inside. You can be around somebody and you think they're godly until you get to see them. You really get to be around them for a while and you go, wait, they're not so godly. You know, I can see them doing some things. So watch. Watch this. So now, whenever God does something, light, it reveals. Revelation. Okay? Whenever Satan's working, it's going to be in the dark. It's going to be hid. And when it does get revealed, it's going to mess you up. Right? So it's very important that we understand. And one way you can think about it when you're praying, I do this. I've done it so many times. When you're praying, get by a light switch. Get by a light switch. Listen, this is good stuff. Get by a light switch. Flip it down. What happens when you flip it down? When you flip it up, what happens? So I get by that light switch and I flip it down and say, Lord, I'm in the dark. I don't know how to handle what I'm going through. I need your help. And I flip up the switch and say, God, I need you to show me the way. Because remember, Satan works in the dark. God works in the light. So remember that. I would go a little bit deeper, but I don't want to get too deep in it because I'm going to use that as a sermon eventually one day too. But let's just watch this. He's moved from darkness to light. Once you were in darkness, now you're in the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Lead those of native born to the light. So now that's some awesome stuff. Now turn to I've already given it to you. Matthew 5:14-16. So I'm just going to read some of it to you. Get ready. Number two, not only have you moved from darkness to light, you reflect God's goodness, righteousness, and truth. The Bible says the good, the right, the true, those are actions appropriate for daylight hours. Here, let me read you this. Let me tell you why you are here. This is the message version. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt. Seasoning that brings out the good flavors or the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. So now, a city on a hill, it can't be hid. You don't have to brag about being a Christian. You don't have to go out and tell everybody you're a Christian. I ain't got to wear a jacket that says I'm a Christian. People can see how I act. Just see how I act. And they'll know I'm a Christian. There's people that you'll naturally get just like, because the Bible says we draw each other. Okay? When you get around people that are like you, Christian people, then you're going to draw. You're going to be together. Because you don't even have to advertise. I ain't got to go to you and say, hey, I'm a Christian. What are you? Now, that's what I like so much about Emmaus. Emmaus, there's no denominations. I mean, they do say we're from the original Ever-Christian Church. We're from the original Free Will Baptist Church and all this. But when we're in that room, we're one in God. We're one in Christ. We promote the cross, Christ, grace. And when you can tell, you can watch people, because when they get in there, as soon as they start hanging around and seeing grace in action, next thing you know, they start clinging to it. And it's so amazing to watch all these people, 20, 30 guys in there that won't even hardly look at each other the first night, got their arms around each other, seeing. And tears flowing. Yeah, get to the altar and just cry, cry, cry. You know why? Because they've seen the real thing. Not some old fake mess. They're walking like that, yeah. Oh, yeah. The group that DC, Brandon, it was DC, Brandon, you, Benny, and Nick. And by the end of the second, Friday morning, in the middle of the morning, we've never had it like this. In the middle of the morning, these guys had already caught a hold, and they had already clung together. It was amazing to watch. That was a good group. That was real good. There was a couple of guys that were very noisy. I can't. Okay, but no. Y'all did good. Y'all did real good. That's right. That's good. So here, okay. Matthew 5:14-16. Matthew 5:14-16, it goes right along with the family inheritance. You reflect God's goodness, righteousness, and truth by the way you act. You know, it's amazing. I had a hat. They told me before I could go to Bethany and see her, I had to go to an AA meeting. They meant Al-Anon, which is for the families, but they said AA, so I went to an AA, Lynn and I went to an AA meeting. And so we're in the AA meeting. I can tell you what, now Linda got me in trouble. Everybody thinks it's me. The man said somebody had earned their chips. And so he's saying, who wants a chip? Who wants a chip? And Linda's back is to the man, and I'm looking right direct at him. He goes, who in here wants a chip? Who needs a chip? And Linda says, you know what they say? And I said, what they say? He says, no one can eat just one. And so I go, ah! In this very serious moment, people are getting their chips. I'm like, ah! And I hold my head back down, looking at guys looking at me like this. And I weren't stupid enough to go, okay. But there was a woman in there. She was 80-something years old, 85, 86, 87, something like that. And she came in on a walker, and it was raining. And I have I caught my Benny hat. Looks like Benny's hat. I have my Benny hat I wear when it rains. It was raining real bad when I came in. And she said, I sure like that hat. And the Lord spoke to me and said, give it to her. And I said, Lord, I just got this hat. It's my Benny hat. And he said, give it to her. And so as we get ready to walk out that night, I'm walking out, I'm helping Linda get out. And we get into the car, and I said, wait a minute. She says, why? I said, I haven't been obedient. She says, why? And I said, I'm supposed to do something with this hat. She said, praise God. And so I walked over, and the old lady's coming out with her walker. And I said, you don't carry an umbrella when it rains, does it? She was wet. She says, she looked at me like, have you lost your mind? I'm on a walker. And I said, you said you like this hat? She said, yeah. I said, well, here. And I took it off, and I put it on her head. She said, sitting over at her husband. And he was about 90. She says, how do I look? And he just went. And so I said, take this hat. And she was from New York. And she honestly, she said, why are you giving me your hat? And I said, because you can't hold an umbrella and you're getting wet. And she said, but why are you giving me this nice hat? I said, because I want to be a blessing to you. And she said, but why are you giving me this hat? And so I said, because I was sitting there and I felt the Spirit tell me to give you this hat. You needed it. Now, are you going to rob me of a blessing? She says, oh, no, I like it. And so she walked off with it. So I went to Walmart to get me another one. They were all sold out. So I went to another Walmart. They were all sold out. I went to another Walmart. They were all sold out. And I said, well, Lord, I didn't give my hat away. And now I'm getting wet again. My bald spot's getting wet. And my dad comes and says, you know, son, I told my dad, I said, Dad, I gave my hat. He said, where's your hat? I said, I gave it away. And my dad's going, why'd you give your hat away, son? And I explained it to him. And my dad was going, yeah. I said, no, Dad. I was trying to be a blessing. He goes, yeah. And I'm thinking it hadn't got through to him. The next day he comes home and he says, look what I got you, son. He found me a hat. Yeah. Okay. No, she liked this one because it was from Farm Bureau. It was plain. Okay, so here we go. Again, I was reflecting God's truth and righteousness. You know, I'm not pinning any medals on me because I actually didn't want to get rid of my hat. I liked my hat. Okay, what I'm just saying is I heard the Spirit. I know it was the Spirit. I could feel it because it wouldn't leave me alone. All right, then number three, you desire to please God, not yourself, not the world. You know, the biggest trouble that Adam and Eve got into was they desired to please their self. If they hadn't desired to please their self, we'd still be living in the Garden of Eden. Satan knew that he had to hit mankind at the beginning so he could ruin everything. And that's what he did because they sought to please self instead of God. But now, again, my hat, I wanted to keep my hat. I liked my hat. Linda didn't. She said it made my nose look big. That's right. Yeah. Well, I can tell you, there was I had no idea this was going to happen. One day, my card, you know, these new cards have these chips in them, and my card got compromised. So I got another card with a chip in it. So we're going to put a chip in it so it won't get compromised. 5 months later, it got compromised. And so then they gave me another card. So I'm working on my third card. And the one that sent me couldn't get compromised because the chip didn't work. And so I couldn't get it to work right. And so the Family Dollar store. And I'm trying to get my chip to work. And the lady, I'm telling her, you got to do it this way. And she's going back and forth. And while I'm working on it, the thing cost about $19.95 or something, whatever I was getting. And while I'm working on it, the lady behind me took out a $20 bill out of her pocketbook. And she reached up. She said, I got it. Let me do it. And I said, and I feel bad because I didn't let her. I said, well, I got some money in my pocket. I was just trying to get this crazy card to work. And so I said, but thank you for being willing. I know God's going to bless you for being willing. I reached my pocket. I gave him some money. You know, but again, I've never had anybody do it to me. You know, he pulled out $20 without hesitating. Here's the one with these children, and she's all, and I mean, I'm thinking she needed that for her family, and she didn't even know me, and just put it up there. So again, but you do it enough, you'll find. Okay. All right, so now, you expose evil and ungodliness. again, you're the salt of the world. What does salt do? Salt does several things. Number one, it gives flavor. Number two, if you pour it in a wound, it stings. But not only does it sting, it heals. No matter what, salt, good salt always makes its presence known. And it doesn't have to do anything but show up. That's it. Just show up. So, we expose evil and ungodliness. We ain't got to walk on going, you're a sinner, you're a sinner. That's ungodly, that's ungodly. All you do is show up. And they can tell by the way you're acting. They can see it. Not only that, but their spirit's not going to bear witness with yours, and your spirit's not going to bear witness with theirs. It's okay, because eventually they'll come around. Expose evil and ungodliness. This is your identity. This is something that you can claim. Now, I come here and started naming all some kind of crazy mess, y'all couldn't claim it, but this is, you can claim it. I thank you, God, that I've moved from the darkness to the light. I thank you, God, I don't have to walk in the darkness anymore. I thank you, God, that I reflect your goodness and your righteousness and truth. I thank you, God. God, I desire to please you, and as long as I desire to please you, we're going to be all right. I can expose evil and ungodliness, not by telling it, not by pointing it out, but just by showing up. And you're blessed with wisdom. Wow. Look carefully. Look carefully then how you walk. Live purposely and worthily and accurately, not as an unwise and witless, but as the wise, sensible, intelligent person. Okay? And that's some heavy, heavy duties work here. I like what the message says, so watch your step and use your head. Yeah. So here we go. You're blessed with wisdom. It's amazing how, before I served Christ, and I didn't know something, I sat and tried to figure it out. It's amazing how, after I got saved and started trusting God for wisdom and understanding, it's amazing how things would just come to. In you. You know why? Because you got angels around you. You got the Holy Spirit with you. That's some awesome stuff will come to you. You'll give people answers, and they won't even know why. You don't even realize you've given them an answer. Because God's using your mouth to speak something of importance to them through wisdom. So, also, you make the most of opportunities. Verse 16 says, making the very most of the time, bind up every opportunity because the days are evil. Because I know that the times are short. That's why I gave that lady that hat. You know, the other day I was trying to do my homework. I just left the hospital, and I stopped by Starbucks to get a Starbucks. And it always helps me to think when I get Starbucks. And you have to understand, if you're ADHD, Ritalin is a stimulant. Okay, I never understood why I could get in Walmart, Starbucks and drink this coffee, and all of a sudden I was right there working and I never understood it. Now I understand it because I'm taking that stimulant and hanging with that coffee. But I was in there, and this guy come up to me, and he sits down, and he already made me feel bad because I'm working. He comes up and goes, this man's 88 years old. He sits down and looks at me and says, are you retired too? And I said, no, sir. I said, I'm only 56. He said, oh. And so then we get talking again. He said, well, what are you doing? I said, I'm working on my homework. And so he starts talking about homework. And then he starts talking about kids. And then he says, well, let me tell you about my son. My children sometimes can be hard-headed. He says, I had a son that was hard-headed. He actually got a scholarship to play football for State University. And he said, old hard, he had messed around and lost it. And I said, I know that aggravated. He says, yeah. I said, well, whatever happened? He said, oh, he turned out to be a doctor. And then I said, well, I reckon that's better than being a football player. He goes, well, but the Lord took care of it. He said, my grandson pitched today. His son. I said, well, where'd he pitch? I thought somebody pitched out here in Newbern somewhere. He says, no, he pitched for the New York Yankees. It was Adam Warren. Adam Warren is a relief pitcher for the New York Yankees. And I was talking to Adam Warren's granddaddy. So I was trying to be nice to him, and all of a sudden, this is pretty, pretty cool. He told me that when he drives up to New York, he says he goes right to the Yankee Stadium. They let him right in. He goes up underneath. He's got his own parking space. He gets out of the parking space and goes up in a box. It sits in a box, and it says that him and the wives and stuff, the family members from the Yankees get to sit up in that box, get all to eat and drink they want. Right, it's all up there taken care of. I'm thinking that's pretty cool, especially to have a Starbucks machine up there. That was fine. That was wonderful. He said he pitched today, and I was thinking, if I had to sit down and got upset with him when he said, "Are you retired?" and got up and walked out, I'd have missed all that nice conversation. We had a good conversation. That was the last thing he told me. And so it wasn't like that was the only thing, but that was the last thing he told me. I did look him up. I did look him up. The homeboy made like $2 million this year. Yeah. Well, Adam Warren. Hey, that's cool. I got to remember the guy. I remember the guy, so I'm going to see. You think I can get Adam Warren to come into our church and talk to us? That'd be cool because he's actually working right now. I mean, Sunday he was actually pitching Sunday. This isn't some guy that said, well, he was there and used to play with him. And, this guy is now. He was with the Cubs. They traded him to the Cubs, and they said they realized they made a mistake and got him back. Okay, so here we go. You're blessed with wisdom. You make the most of opportunities, and you seek to know God's will. Therefore, do not be vague and thoughtless and foolish, but understanding and firmly grasping what the will of the Lord is. What I want you to do is I want you to take this home with you. I hope you wrote down Matthew 5:14 through 16 so you can fill in all these blanks with Matthew 5:14 through 16. Fill in these spots right here. But I want you now, when you get up in the mornings, when you're putting on the whole armor of God, you're trying to think of what you got to do for the day, how things are going to go, and Satan's beating you up already. You say, Satan, beat all you want. This is my inheritance. This is my family mark. I can look, I can look over here. And when his daddy's over there, I can tell because I see the family. The Baker family resemblance. Okay, when your son came, I can see the family resemblance. When you see my boys, you see the family resemblance. All right? Same way. This is our family resemblance. This is us. Well, you got somebody in your family you look like. Well, I got my height from my granddaddy, my beard from my grandmama. I told somebody. I should feel ashamed of myself, but I know it. I was talking to her the other day, and I was trying to get something taken care of, and she was going, we can't do this, and we can't do that. And I told her, I said, you can do it for me. And she said, why can I do it for you? I said, hadn't you heard of my granddaddy, the great General Linton from the Civil War? I said, he worked for the South and the North. I said, he was a general on both ends. I said, he tried to bring a peace treaty between the North and the South. And she goes, really? I'm going to have to look that up. And she said, well, matter of fact, we can do this. Let's go ahead. And I told her, I was just playing. My granddaddy, my I had a general, all right, but it was not the that. Okay. So. Wow, he's an awesome dude. He's an awesome dude is all I got to say. All right, so look, has this been good? Amen. This is who we are in Christ. We got this inheritance, and it's an awesome thing. We don't have to walk around and advertise it. I've seen people, I've sat down in restaurants before, in different cities that I was just visiting. I've sat down in cities before, and a guy sat beside me and said, well, hey, Pastor. And I go, excuse me? He goes, hey, Pastor. I said, how do you know? I don't even know you. He says, I don't know you either. He said, but I can tell you're a pastor. And I went, oh, okay. I've had him come. And this has happened frequently. With spiritual discerning people, they're going to say either you're a Christian or you're a man of God or you're a pastor. And I've just met him for the first time. And I'm thinking, I weren't praying. I was walking through the buffet line. I reckon I had too much fried chicken on one plate. I don't know. It was the fried chicken, but that gave it away. Let us pray. Anybody got any questions? Any comments? Okay. Well, here, let's pray. Y'all ready to pray? Father, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace, your mercy. We thank you, Lord, that your word is powerful and it's alive and it's quick. And Lord, we know, God, that we don't have to trust our own instincts, Lord. We can trust you. We thank you, God, for the family resemblance, Lord. We thank you for the stuff that you said is ours. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. We thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Let us go out and use this stuff. Amen.